You're listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audio book club.
Greetings, explorers. I'm one of your hosts, Johnny, joined by
Dennis
and
Francis the Fabulous.
I should have done the intro with the Beatles accents. Greetings, explorers. No, that's terrible.
Oh my God, what the heck was that? Job of the Hutt.
I'm one of your hosts, Johnny, but we hope you've already. We hope you've already read today's title because all three of us have read the book. So beware, spoilers ahead. Explorers can share their opinions and thoughts with us by leaving a comment on our Facebook page or over on Twitter and Instagram at GN Explorers Club.
So like any good procrastinator, I waited till 9 o'clock last night to start reading the book and I saw it was 254 pages. And I was like, oh no. But then as I started opening it, I was like, oh, maybe this isn't so bad. But it's basically set in the 60s. And I think it's a teenage girl. What is she, 13?
14? Yeah. This takes place. It's actually Carol Tyler's diary. A lot of it's her diary entries, I believe. And she grew up in Illinois, area called Fox Lake. Okay. Some of it was in actual Chicago, but most of it is in Fox Lake. I had to look up all the stuff because in the story, there's a lot of actual addresses and stuff that she wrote down. Like part of it's drawn on her dad's, like his work pad with his company's name at the top. And she would have been about 13 when the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan in 1964.
This book resulted from, I think, some sort of scrapbook project that she was like either assigned or recommended to do to kind of capture this time period. And then later on, she revisits it.
The title of the book is Fab Four Mania by Carol Tyler. It was published by Fantagraphic Books in 2018. Yeah, and it's a very, very wonderful, I thought, time capsule of several things, like a child's journey from like the end of their childhood into not quite adulthood, but adolescence, and Beatlemania. Like there was one thing that really struck a chord with me is in the book, there's sort of a side journey into her research as a kid into each Beatle and just a quick little jot of stuff that she liked about him. And the first one is Ringo. And Ringo's kind of the punching bag of the Beatles nowadays. You know, it's always Ringo's kind of the butt of all jokes. But when you go back and read it, she talks a lot about how important he was to the band as far as like keeping the beat. And he was the cool one, whereas Paul was the cute one. John's the funny one. And George is kind of the stoic one. So yeah, it's weird to get a different perspective from the Beatles now as opposed to when they were a brand new band on the scene. I think that was one thing I really appreciated.
I'll also add that it reminded me a lot of another sister publication from Fantagraphics, which is My Favorite Things is Monsters. And so this had that, you know, straight from kids' notebook feel, right? I mean, it emulated a lot of the carrier devices, the lined paper or whatever, and It had little doodles and everything. Unfortunately, unlike My Favorite Things is Monsters, you know, where that one had lots of words, but I felt that it was telling a story and it wasn't a whole lot of words. This is very dense. Like this was
straight
from her diary, which I wasn't aware of. And it wasn't necessarily, I mean, I don't know. I felt there was, obviously My Favorite Things is Monsters benefited from the fact that it wasn't a diary. So it was maybe semi based in her life, but it was more fictionalized. So it felt a little more
structured. Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. That's the first thing my mind went to was My Favorite Things is Monsters. And I remember I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning to finish that book because it just enraptured me so quickly.
Right.
I feel the problem with this book is it was literally pages and pages of just text.
Right.
And there was no breakup. There was no art. And I think, like, honestly, I don't even think this should have been called a graphic novel. There, I said it. It was a different genre. It just, and what's sad is there were some really interesting stories. Because I kind of read, like, I didn't read exactly what happened, but she cheated somehow to win a trophy. And she had the Catholic guilt.
It was about how, this actually, I was like, I wonder what, when I read it, I was like, oh, I wonder what Frances thought about this, because she enters a contest to design some safety posters centered around driving and commuting. And as a kid, she's like, I'm a kid. I don't drive. I don't know what to do. And so she goes to her mom about it, and her mom gives her an idea, and she runs with it, and then winds up winning all of the awards that night for this contest. And it's like a statewide contest. She's feeling guilty about it because her friend did a lot of work, and her friend and herself were like, you're going to win. You did this amazing job. And then as she starts to win, her friend's like, oh yeah, you won the award, but your mom did all the work. And she starts feeling really guilty about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a shitty friend. Oh, sorry. That's a not nice friend.
That's also your religion.
Yeah. And that part, I was kind of interested. So I stopped and read some of it. And I guess like the school got to keep the trophy and she had to see it every day, like as a reminder. So the Catholic guilt part was very funny to me. And, you know, but it wasn't enough to make me read the whole story. And I know she talked about Ash Wednesday, getting ashes, and what it's like when they make the big mark on their forehead, and some girls can cover it with bangs. I'm all over the place, sorry guys. There's one scene that I absolutely loved, and it's a one-page drawing, and because I never believed my mom. So let me tell you the story. My mom lived in Kansas for a while, and she told me, this had to be in the 60s, I think, maybe it was the 70s. She said the big thing in Kansas back then was Chef Boyardee pizza. And I was like, no, mom, there's no way. She's like, no, it was like the thing. Like there was a pizza kit and like you made pizza and everybody loved Chef Boyardee pizza. I thought my mom was lying. Hand to God, the page. She's having a party and her sister like throws the box of Chef Boyardee pizza mixed at her and is like, here, your mom said you should have this for your party. I was like, oh my God, that was a real thing. A Chef Boyardee pizza box. Because I guess like America back then, like pizza parlors weren't what they were today. Like you had to like make your own. And that part really, for some reason, just grabbed my attention. I was like, oh, my mom was right.
Two things about that. Yeah, that was one of my favorite illustrations in the book, was of the Chef Boyardee pizza. And then the second part was, apparently pizza didn't really take off because it was, you know, it was more of an Italian food. And if you didn't live in an Italian community, you really didn't get it a lot. But then there was a movie called Splendor in the Grass. And that, I guess pizza was featured in that story quite a bit. Structured around sexuality too. And I guess that really made pizza explode because people were like, well, oh, it's a sexy food. I'm going to go eat it.
So yeah. their 9.5 weeks of the time blew up pizza, as we
know. Much so, like 9.5 weeks blew up putting ice cubes on your sexual partner. Rubbing pizza on your lover blew up because of Splendor in the Grass.
So on a side note to that, I was just thinking, you know, about Francis, you were mentioning food and pizza and how you didn't believe that was real. My kids didn't believe me because we never buy it. I know it's still sold a little bit, but not as much. But you remember, do you guys remember like orange juice? Your main source of orange juice was the frozen orange juice. Like you didn't really you didn't really buy like what we do now. And I'm trying to remember, do you guys remember, did we have orange juice like that? Like we do now, or was it always just frozen? Why did our parents always buy?
No, because they had jugs, because they had Donald Duck orange juice, and we would always.
Oh, I remember that.
Mom, please, yeah. Donald Duck orange juice. She's like, no, it's like, and this is, you know, back in the 80s. She's like, no, it's like $5 or $6 a carton. I'm not buying that for you.
Right. And Peter Pan peanut butter.
Yeah. It was the Minute Maid. It was the Minute Maid can, and you could get like 3 for $1 or something.
Right.
And it was that weird can.
Chunky. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I remember that.
Back to the story, though. One of the things that I found really funny, I guess looking back funny, and also reminded me of one of the best Saturday Night Live skits of fake commercials of all time, is when she has to start wearing Kotex for the first time. And she talks about the garter belt system thing that she has to wrap it in, and she doesn't wear it the right way. And that reminded me of an SNL skit from like the Amy Poehler, Tina Fey era. It's like a retro throwback. Like, wear your mom's Kotex pads, and it's this big belt, and like instead of like a sexy G-string hanging out, it's the garter system.
I will say I'm almost on the same wavelength as Francis on this one, because I felt that It was just too dense. Like, where my favorite things is monsters broke things up. It even wrote text in a fun way, which this did in some cases. I thought this was just way too much text for it to be a handwritten text.
Well, in their defense, I don't think the book was meant to be digested in a several hour span. Like, the three of us probably read it. You know, it's one of those things where you read it over a couple of days. I think it would have been easier to digest. But kind of getting some other stuff from the story that I personally enjoyed was when the book opens and you just see a notebook filled with Beatles, 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 mm-hmm. Beatles, 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 mm-hmm. hundreds of times. I mean, it is in there hundreds and hundreds of times. And then it cuts to an illustration with Carol and her friend saying, here, she's handing the book off to her friend saying, here, you do it for a while. My hand has a cramp. I thought that was just a perfect example of like being a child and being a fan of something.
Right. And being a teenage girl at that time with your hormones and being into a boy band. No, for sure. I actually enjoyed that as well. I thought that was a good kind of look into their mind.
Yeah.
I will say, I think I might have liked this more. I'm being honest. I don't care about the Beatles, right? That was so long ago. Like,
get
Beatles
off. Don't, I know,
yeah. Like, if this was like, which I was not a fan of, but if this was like New Kids on the Block,
oh my
or,
God,
like I could more relate, and I would probably pay more attention. But she didn't even really get into the Beatles until like halfway through the book. I felt like she, and again, it's like, so is this book? Is it about her being a fan? Or is it just like her diary? Like, I felt
I think it's both.
Took too long. It took mm-hmm. too long to get into the Beatles section. And by the time it did, I just didn't care.
I think it's really a tapestry of childhood as seen through a fan of the Beatles. Because the Beatles will pop up once in a while, and maybe the title's a little misleading, but it really is her childhood, or especially like her adolescence, encapsulated by the Beatles becoming so big. There was nothing, I mean, you had Elvis, but the Beatles just took it off in a whole completely different direction when they made their debut on the Ed Sullivan Show, which I think was a year before this. I think they debuted in 63, and the first time she sees them is 64.
Yeah, and what's funny is a lot of stuff she talks about that I read about Catholicism has not changed.
No,
I hope. No, I would imagine it wouldn't.
The 2,500 year old religion. I appreciated it. Is it a book? Is it a graphic novel? It's kind of neither, but it's both. There's a lot I really enjoyed about the book. It definitely is not something you can knock out real fast. It is dense. It's very much her diary. We're just getting her diary verbatim. I think she just went through and rewrote it. Because there's times when she'll write words in cursive and then it goes back to print. There's it's almost zine-ish because there's times when there's just photocopies of like her dad wants her to take a typing class and it's her actual little things that she learned to type and it's all centered around the Beatles. It's like Beatles, 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 Elvis, Beatles. Another thing I really liked about this book is how much it's a reflection of how parenting was back then. Cause a lot of times she'll ask her dad things and he's like, what, why are you asking me? Stop. I like smoke in the car full of, she has five or four siblings and they're just, the dad's just like smoking in the car and he cracks a window a little bit. She earns money by babysitting a family that lives down the street. And one of the kids breaks a lamp. It's a big family, bigger than hers. I think there's seven kids. And the two oldest children are boys and they break a lamp and trying to be a good babysitter thinking she's doing the right thing. She leaves a note after the kids go to bed for the parents saying, hey, the boys are roughhousing and they broke a lamp. Well, the next day the sons show up and they've got bruises all over them. They've got cuts and the kids like, our dad beat us up because of what you said. You're getting what we got from us. And she's like, well, I was just trying to be a good babysitter. I thought I was doing the right thing. So it's just I don't know. It's just such a great time capsule of that era.
So did she ever see the Beatles?
Yes. So
All right, I stopped after like 124 pages. And I was like,
that's hilarious. So the last third of the book is really about, she winds up getting tickets through this radio station that she listens to, which is actually, it's a real radio station. I believe it's WLC. I may be getting the call letters wrong. It's still around to this day, but now it's, I think it's a talk radio station. But they were the first radio station in the country to ever play a Beatles song. About it, I think it was about 6 months before they got big. And so she's listening to them and they say, hey, the Beatles are coming. They'll be here in 6-7 months. She writes in, gets tickets, so she has to pay. She has a Beatles fan club that she creates for her little part of Illinois that she lives in. And there's only four other girls or three girls in the group. And gets the tickets and it winds up being her mom going and this guy who lives on the street who doesn't want the other guys in the neighborhood to know that he's a Beatles fan. Because they try and coerce him into like, we'll give you a ticket if you drive us out there in your Mustang. And he's like, no, I'm taking a bunch of eighth graders in my Mustang Beatles concert. I'll be the laughingstock of my high school. And then she goes in, and I think this is actually her real diary with updated drawings, goes into very detail about who opened for the band and how nobody cared. They just wanted the Beatles to come out. And then as soon as the Beatles started, 25 kids fainted. It was so loud they couldn't hear the performance. Talking about what they were wearing, what their guitars look like. And yeah, and then just ends with what they did afterwards. They went and got ice cream at this place called the Buffalo Ice Cream Parlor. It's very sweet. There's one other thing. The teacher, one of her teachers talks about the Vietnam threat looming and how he was in the Marines and he would join up again and go in. And given her age and sort of the social economical standing of her neighborhood, they're not a well-to-do family. You know, they're probably middle class or lower middle class. And I was wondering like how many of Carol's friends were drafted and died in Vietnam. Like that was one thing I was like, I wonder if there's a book that she would be working on that's about that experience.
I wonder too, because I know the novel, I'm actually interested in the author and some of her other works. And I know one of her other acclaimed works involved something to do with World War II and her dad and following up on the stories involving that. But yeah, it is kind of like Wonder Years, but real life, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of that Stand By Me, Wonder Years, but actual, like from a person who was from that era with just the Beatles as a backdrop, like how Almost Famous isn't about Rolling Stone magazine.
So in vain of this story and about the radio station, when I was 8 years old, huge Paula Abdul fan, okay? I just went to her concert last year. Like I was in the Paula Abdul fan club. I wore my Paula Abdul shirt, but I called into the radio station, finally got through, and I won the contest to go get concert tickets. Then they asked for my date of birth, and you have to be like 18 or older to do it. And I was like, and I made up a date and they're like, nope. They're like, you're not old enough. And I lost the tickets to see Paula Abdul. And I was like on the phone all day, right? Like all day kept calling on my rotary phone. And my mom was like, oh, you should have just given my birthday. I was like, I don't know your birthday. I'm 8, right? I don't know when that is, what year that is. But I was devastated. And last year I went and saw Paula Abdul in Stockton and Andy couldn't believe it when I started crying when I was watching her. Because it was my lifelong goal. And I saw her and I was like in the second row and I was just in awe. And
I had the worst crush on Paula Abdul when I was like from 13 to about 15. And my best friend Santino and I got to see her at Arco Arena and Color Me Bad opened for her.
Nice.
Yeah, and that was our dream. I used to have a cutout in my wallet. It was of her and John Stamos. They were at some event together, some fancy event, and my wallet size photos that you know you get from your school photos. I took an X-Acto knife and I cut my head out. It was the perfect size. It like fit in there perfectly. And he was wearing a collared shirt, and I cut my neck down so it looked like I was in the collar. And then I had that taped on there, and then I went and photocopied it and then printed it out, and it looked like me in this photo, and I carried that around in my wallet for like years.
Do you still have it, John?
I wish.
Yeah. I wish. I had Paula Abdul Reebok shoes. They were sunflowers, and they changed color in the summertime. I remember those. Yeah.
See, and that's indicative of what Carol does in this book. She buys so much shit at the concert because it's a Beatle affiliate. There's so many things, little tablet books, buttons, the little wall flags. She buys all this stuff at the concert because it has Beatlemania stuff on it. So
I do actually want to read it like thoroughly at some point, not at 9 o'clock at night before
we have to record. Not the typical Francis skimming.
Yeah. No, because it does look like an interesting read, but it's one of those books, like, I think to your point, like, you really have to be prepared for it. And it's going to take a while to capture it all. So,
yeah, it's dense. It's a thick, dense book, and it fills every single part of the 254 pages.
And I feel like she could have, this is a critical part. I feel like if you're going to be a comic book, you should show more than tell. And that, to me, is what made this a novel. This was a book with some drawings.
Yeah.
And I was like,
to be fair, though, she might have gone that direction of, I'm going to do my diary, but then to make it more interesting and to fill it out more, she added illustrations, which I will add, illustrations are fantastic. I thought all the stuff was great. I just love that artwork.
Some of it seems like it's left over from her childhood. Like, there's a thing she does in the book where, as a kid, she gets these big sheets of butcher paper from her mom and life size as close as she can, makes life size reproductions, illustrations of the Beatles instruments, and they're littered throughout the book, and they're wonderful. It's just like, as a kid, you just like, oh yeah, she had an eye for illustrating. Just the way things are laid out, it's you could tell, okay, yeah, someday this kid's gonna develop into an artist, an illustrator. So, well, anything else about the book?
I liked it. You know, it wasn't what I was expecting, but I did like it overall. But yeah, I might be more interested in her other book, like I said, the World War II one, just because, I don't know, I just wasn't in the mood. For me, it was long and verbose, and I wasn't in the mood for that story. I mean, I don't want another, you know, punch to death, violent book either, but I just wasn't in the mood for this one.
Yeah. All right. Well, and for listener, this is our season finale. We should have said this at the beginning, but we are recording this remotely because we're in the shelter in place phase, which will hopefully, fingers crossed, be ending soon. When we're recording this, it's the middle of May or the beginning of May. So hopefully by the end of the month, where we're at in California. But yeah, we'll be back in just a few weeks with our summer special, which is usually 3 or 4 episodes. But I think that's it. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Frances, where can people follow you?
At Words and Waffles. I'm making a lot of posts about what I'm eating at home.
And it always looks so fucking good. You always have the best desserts, the best drink. Like, geez.
I'm getting so fat.
I don't think you're actually sheltering in place.
You're like, oh yeah, I'm still going to all those restaurants and getting drunk. And what about the podcast, Dennis?
You could find us on Insta and Twitter at GN Explorers Club.
Cool. Yeah, thank you for listening. And we'll be back in just a few weeks with our summer special. And then we won't be back until New Year. The New Year. Well, you got to get married.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We are having the summer special. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks, listeners. It's been a true pleasure to talk to you this season.
They can't answer. They can't answer.
Oh, they can't?
Yeah, the listeners can't answer.
Oh.
Call in. They could call in at. No. All
right. Seventh caller gets tickets to Paula Abdul.
Yeah. The Paula Abdul NSYNC reunion tour.
I'd go.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.